You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
And I don't know if you've got your Bible with you tonight, but if you do, could you please turn in Luke chapter 15? Luke chapter 15, we're in our series, Sons and Daughters. This is our Sunday night series, Sons and Daughters. Pastor Paul Reed kicked us off a few weeks ago, and just talking about who we are. When you recognize that who you are, it makes every difference about what you do, how you operate in life, how you behave, how you think, how you act, how you treat other people. And the Bible is clear and wants us to know, God wants you to know tonight, you are a son and a daughter of God. He wants you to know today, whether you've acknowledged him before or you've ignored him before or you just hadn't known there was any other option. The best way to do life is in connection with the God who created you, loves you, has a plan and a purpose for your life. And God calls you sons and daughters. That's what this series is about. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a story. And this story is to illustrate this whole relationship between God and his people. And so we're going to pick up the story. But this story that Jesus is sharing is the son has left home. And the son wanted his inheritance early. And so said to the father, just give me the money. Give me the money. I just want to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. Give me the money. Show me the money. And so he went on his travels and did what he wanted to do. He lived whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it. He was having the time of his life, spending cash like, you know, he was in Russia or something. They have a lot of money, wheelbarrows. And so he came back in a moment after an amount of time had gone past and he had spent everything that he'd got. And he realizes in a moment, this may be a choice that I've made that's put me in the wrong direction. And we're going to pick up the story here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. It says, while he was still a long way off, he was still far away from the home that he had left a while before taking his money. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. This is his son. He's taken his money, his inheritance early, but the dad still sees him. He sees him far off. He's not lost any level of relationship, even though proximity's different. Relationship's still the same. He sees his son. The Bible says he has compassion on him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and also against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. So they began to celebrate. Tonight, we're simply talking about it's time to party. It's time to celebrate. Tonight, we're going to recognize that wherever we're at today, whether we're far away from God or we're close, that God's relationship to us is just one moment away in restoration. And wherever you are, if you've never acknowledged God, maybe you've walked away from God, maybe you've at one time felt close, but now you feel distant. Today, we're simply saying, come on, it's time to celebrate. It's time to party. Let's pray and then we're going to move on quick. God, we just thank you for every amazing person in this place, from the youngest to the oldest, the person that's been here hundreds of times to the person that this is their very first time. God, we pray that you would come and move, speak to us, come and whisper, come and stir something in our hearts, God. We want to hear your voice. We want to feel your presence. We want to know your touch. And God, we want to go out of this place different than when we came in. Thank you. You want to speak to every single person in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the band a round of applause. Good job. All right. Here we go. Let's get the party started. Whenever I get home from work, I've got two responses that are going to happen. When I get home from work, I'm going to turn up at home and my kids are going to be going absolutely berserk. They're going to be ready for daddy to come home. They're going to be, both my boys are going to be on the windowsill. They're basically pretty much through the window pane in excitement, anticipation. They're banging the windows down. Jasmine's just ready to embrace me, kiss me, and just have daddy home. They're super excited to see me. I don't really need to get anywhere near the door. I can definitely hear them. And I can hear them running, and they're just coming pounding towards because daddy's home. The second occasion, and this is a lottery. This is like earlier on, just the flick of a coin, heads or tails, is I can walk in, and they are totally oblivious to the fact that I'm home. Jasmine, my 10-year-old going on 15, is sat in her usual position, headphones on. She's ignoring me. The boys do not want to see me. These two responses are just a flick of a coin away. Have you noticed, however you approach a situation, it's determined by what you expect is going to happen in that situation. And you better be ready. If they're on the day when they're coming for you, where they're excited, they're jumping around, they're going to wrestle me to the floor, you better be ready for that moment, because as soon as you get through that door, you're on the floor. And so how I approach the home is dependent on what I'm expecting. Maybe you've come here tonight to this church for the first time and you weren't really sure how to approach. You're thinking, should I wear a suit? You know, what should I wear? I'm going to church for the first time. I don't really know what to expect. And when we don't know what to expect, we can walk into situations cautiously. We're asking ourselves so many questions. We end up being nervous. We're thinking, how are people looking at me? What are they thinking about me? But if we know what we're going into, our approach is completely different. You don't walk into situations that you've been into 100 times, anxious and wondering what's going to happen, because you know what to expect. And so you walk in confidently. You're just ready. You're like, come on, I know what's going to happen. I'm ready for this situation. My question for you tonight is, how do you approach God? If we've been speaking about God tonight, we've been singing about God, how you approach God is dependent on what you expect of God. And this story in Luke chapter 15 is a story about our relationship with God. Whether you know God or not, you are in Luke chapter 15. And the Bible is clear that the son who had taken the father's inheritance, he had just done whatever he wanted to do, doing whenever he wanted to do it. He was just getting out there thinking, I'm just going to have the time of my life. But when he got to the end of his resources, when he got to the end of his ideas, the only thing he knew was to come back to the house he'd grown up to. Can you imagine that moment of realization? I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to humble myself because I'm in a bad situation. And I said, I'm just going to go and do what I want to do. And I was going to prove that I could make my life happen. And now I'm just going to have to walk back. I'm going to have to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Can you imagine the son walking back? But you know what we see in Luke chapter 15? We see a father who was not distant. He had not ignoring the son. He'd not forgotten about him. In fact, completely the opposite. What we see in this story of Jesus is a father who is on the edge of his house. He's at the gate, on the edge of his garden, on the end of the drive, waiting for his son to come home. The anticipation, the expectation of the father is, I'm going to wait here as long as it takes because I'm believing that my son is going to come home. You know, this story is illustrating to us a God who is the father who's on the edge of heaven right now. And he is not distant. He's not far off. He doesn't ignore you. He's not leaving you to your own devices. The God of heaven is literally right now, waiting with anticipation, expectation. My sons, my daughters, they're going to come home. How many people here are under 25? Just give me a quick wave. You can lie if you want. It's not, a few people lying, I can see big, yeah, wow. Lord, smite them right now. If you're under 25, I'm just going to give you a quick history lesson, and it goes like this. There was a time when Manchester United were a good team. I know you're going to have to find out in books, like even the internet. It's not going to have too much. You're going to have to go on paper and have a look, but they were good, okay? And I want to show you a video now from 1999. Watch the screens. Come on, how many people have got a tear in your eye? Come on, man. I remember I was 19 years old and I was in my lounge. I was literally on my knees for 96 minutes. I was watching this game with my dad and I was just like, I literally couldn't move because I thought at the time, if I move, we're going to lose. So I'm just going to stay in this position. I've got pins and needles coursing through my body, but I cannot afford to move. I'm going to stay like this so that we win. And we did win. Let that be a lesson to you. But as we're watching that 93rd minute equalizer and that 90 whatever minute winner, and Manchester United won the treble, no one has ever and will ever do this again, right? But it was this moment, I was literally willing the ball in the net, doing everything I physically could to get this ball that was in Barcelona, and me sat in Stratford-upon-Avon, the heart of England, giving as much Shakespearean as I could, therefore aren't a goal. I was literally willing the ball in the net. And I got this picture of a God who's literally in heaven right now and is saying, come on, I'm believing for the best for you. I'm believing that God is going to do something. He's literally waiting. I don't know where we've got this idea that God is distant, that God doesn't care about you, where God is just like, oh, whatever, just see what happens. Now, you just crack on, whatever. If you make a few mistakes, don't worry about it. It's your fault, so you'll work it out. We've got this idea that God, as soon as we turn away from him, he turns away from us. We've got this idea that God is disappointed with us. Maybe you've walked in here and you feel guilty being in God's house because of what you did this week, and you feel like God is watching every move you make. You better pay full price for the coffee, else he will smite you. And we've got this idea of a distant, disappointed God who wants you to feel worse than you already feel and feel guilty. And yet God is literally, as I was, on his knees waiting for the best to come from your life. He's calling you home saying, come on, this is your moment. This is your moment. God wants the very best for you. And there's things that you've been working so hard for, praying for, and God is just not like, oh, I'm teaching you a lesson, I want you to suffer. God is like, come on, I'm believing with you. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 that the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is praying for you. Hello? God, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that even when you don't know what to pray for, some of you looking at the prayer walls going, I don't even know where to start. And yet right now, the Holy Spirit is on your case. He knows what's in your heart, and He is interceding to the Father for you on your behalf. The Bible says in Romans 8, it goes on and says that Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, is praying for you right now. Right now, you have got the best prayer team on the face of the planet praying for you. Whether you know God or not, the Holy Spirit is walking around heaven now. Jesus is like, Dad, don't look at them yet. Just have a look here first. See this. See the scars on my back. Don't look at them till you've looked at me. Both the Holy Spirit and Jesus are praying for you right now. You see, God wants the very best for you. This is God's heart for every single person in this room. You know, even better than that, God doesn't just have a heart of compassion towards you. The Bible says when Jesus walked through crowds, He looked in people's eyes and His heart was moved. The Bible says He had compassion. And the original language talks about a gut-churning response. Such is the passion God has for you. Come on! But God goes to the next level, and He doesn't just have His heart to you. It's also God's action is towards you. In Luke chapter 15, the Father didn't just stay on the edge of the drive saying, come on, come on, come on. He said, this is not enough. My intention is not enough. I'm going to have to get to action. And so the Bible says the Father ran to His Son and He flung His arms around the Son. You see, God is active in His pursuit of us. God's heart is not just for you, but God is initiating, setting things up to give you the opportunity to hear about God, to respond to Him. God is active to us. He pursues us. You see, God is a hugger. Any huggers in the room? My Auntie Pam, 98 years out, still in the crease, not out yet. 98, my great aunt, she made a decision for Jesus at Old Trafford. Come on, somebody. Doesn't get much better than that. She grew up in a church in Manchester, and she, right now, whenever I see her, she's 90 years old. I am 40 this year. Wow. Sorry, that was just a moment of confession. Just thought I needed the therapy on that one. I'll see Auntie Pam, and she will hug me. She will kiss me. She'll scratch her beard all over my face. She's a hugger. Auntie Pam, and she'll be like, hello, sweetie darling. And if you were to meet Auntie Pam for the first time, you know what she would call you? My little sweetie darling. She would hug you. She would be kissing you. She's a hugger. Gary Chapman talked in his book about the five love languages, about some people love time. If you just you just want to spend time with people, that's how you love people. And others, it's gifts. And others, it's physical touch, right? Physical touch. For others, it's acts of service. And there's another one. But all of these, they speak about action. See, love is not just a feeling. Love is not just, you know, this kind of like violin playing. Everything feels good. The candle's on. It's not just this emotion. Love is an action. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God shows or demonstrates His love for us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still ignoring Him, while we were still far off, even though we were a long way off, the Bible says Christ died for us. See, Luke 15 shows us this story about God's heart for every single one of us. He's on the edge going, come on, I want the best for you. I've got great plans and purpose for your life. Come on. Come on, make the best decision. Live the life that I've won for you. It's not enough to stay here. He gets up. He runs towards us with arms flung wide. He says, come on. God's a hugger. God's embracing you even right now. God is active in his pursuit. And so when the Father saw that in his sovereignty, he said, come on, you can make your own choice. You can live in free will. He said, we've got to do something to give these guys the best chance. Sent Jesus to die for us, to die the death, to pay a price that we should pay, but we could never pay. Stop trying to pay a price that you can never pay. And just accept, because the third thing is, God's initiative of his heart, God's initiative of his action, make way for God's invitation. And God right now has an open invitation. In Audacious Church, in the last few weeks, we've had like this flurry of weddings. Like everyone's like, people are literally walking into church to Connections Lounge, first time here, and saying, let's get married. It seems like people are getting married all over the place. You know, it's when you go to weddings, I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, but I go to weddings and I'm like, yeah, this is all good, but I'm just thinking, I'm not even sure if I'm really invited to the next bit, the food bit. So I'm like just nervous in the service thinking, oh, this is kind of awkward because I don't know. And they're thinking, you're not supposed to be here. So at some point, we're just going to have to like, you know, that little walk past the thing with the tables on it. And you're like, just casually, you don't want to stand there like a tourist, you know, and look at the map for too long. Because everyone's like, you clearly aren't supposed to be here. You know, if you're looking for evidence, you're not supposed to be here. If you need to look at the table plan, just walk out now, you know. So I'm just casually looking, or just ask a few people, are you on, which table are you on? And hoping they'll say, yeah, I'm on your table. And you're sweet. You know, but weddings, this wedding that God is inviting us to, is an open invitation wedding. Right now, there is an invitation set for every single person on every single seat tonight. You just happened to sit on a seat tonight and you weren't even expecting an invitation. But Luke 15 shows us that the Father tonight, his heart is towards you, compelling you. His action is embracing you, and the invitation is open to you. So my question tonight is, how are you going to respond to a God that wants the very best for you, that's urging you to do the best, to make the best decisions, to live life and experience it in all of its fullness, to understand the God who knit you together in your mother's womb and created you with a plan and a purpose, who is active, running towards you tonight with arms flung wide. The question is just simply, RSVP, how are you going to respond tonight? I guess if you've been coming for a long time, I would ask today that you would look at that invitation with fresh eyes. 19 years old, just not long after the famous treble. I was a student, and I was in my university accommodation, and I'd sensed the heart of God towards me in a totally fresh and new way. I was in my bedroom, in my student halls, and I was literally praising God as loud as you can without any voice, any noise coming out. Do you know that feeling? It's like, because everyone is asleep. But I'd recognized God's heart for me. I'd experienced that night some of the activity of God, the action of God. I'd felt his love, his power in my life. My response that night was just to go, God, worship you. You're amazing. And tonight, God is looking for a fresh response. There's an invitation for every single person in this place, not just to do church, not just to sing songs that maybe you know that you've sung many times, but the invitation tonight is to say, God, I want to sense your heart for me again. God, I want to worship in a way that represents everything that you've done for me. I want to experience your heart. I want to know your action. God, I know there's an invitation for me to go deeper with you, to experience your love in a greater capacity, to experience the power of God in a new way. And God wants to stir every heart in this place, whether you've known God for years or today, you're here for the very first time. The simple question tonight for every person in this room is, what is your response to God's incredible initiative and God's open invitation? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you've never heard about Jesus before. You didn't know living for God and with God was an option. And tonight there's been something either about what I've said or the service or just something about tonight that stirred your heart. The Bible's clear that God knocks at the door of your heart. And he asks, would you let me come in? Would you invite me into your life? Would you invite me into your heart? And today, you're at that door. Right now, you're at the door. And the question is, what's your response to the knocking at your heart?
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.